Maria should have been here. We've had some technical issues, and it's just been quite the conversational expletives.
But boy, has it been entertaining.
Hasn't it, though? If you go on the Kathy and Judy page on Facebook, Amy and I just recorded a little hello, because Judy's gone this week. Judy is in Arizona registering voters. You go, girl.
Yeah, get it done, Judy.
And so Amy's here, and somebody commented on the photo and said, I didn't realize Amy was so tall. And I'm 5'3", shrinking all the time. What are you, like 5'8 or 5'9"?
I'm 5'10".
5'10", yeah. So Amy's...
A tall drink of water.
Long, tall drink of water. And I referred to Amy's thing. We were talking in the office. Amy, did you dislocate something or twist something?
I separated my shoulder.
Okay, so she's wearing a sling. She has to keep herself kind of immobile. But we were having an interesting conversation in the office about how people feel like it's okay to touch that.
Yeah, strangers are just walking up and like petting my arm, and it's really creeping me out, and commenting on it and saying things. But I mean, I was on Justin Kaufman's show the other night talking about this, how it's weird how if you know, the free arm, the uninjured shoulder, you know, people give other human beings a certain amount of space when you're walking by them. But with the arm in a sling, people aren't giving me that space. So people keep crashing into the injured shoulder. But the things that come out of their mouth when they realize they've done that are, it's weird. They say things like, oh, did I just do that to you? Did I do that to you just now? Well no.
No.
I didn't materialize a sling.
It was that
what are you
way.
Talking about? I showed up this way today.
I know that young women and middle-aged women who are pregnant mm-hmm. often are shocked.
Yep.
That strangers will come up to them and feel like it's okay to touch them.
Yep. A friend of mine was just posting about this on Facebook the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, if you know our number, 312-981-7200, if somebody feels compelled to touch you when you don't even know them, sometimes people that you don't even want right. them to touch you, but have you had people come up to you when you were pregnant and feel like it's okay to touch your belly, or like Amy, to touch your sling, or any number of things? I just wonder if it seems like in 2016 that awareness of personal space certainly is heightened over what it was when I was pregnant. And I think when I was pregnant, if somebody did that, and of course that was almost, I hate to even say this, almost 50 years ago that I was pregnant, that I wouldn't have, I don't think we had an awareness of personal space and of what boundaries were. Mm-hmm. I think boundaries is a better,
sure,
is
sure.
a better word for it. So you know what the deal is. 312-981-7200. You can give us a call and tell us if your personal space has been invaded because you were pregnant or were wearing a cast or something.
And I think, too, it's funny the way people react to injured people sometimes. I was in a car accident years ago, and I spent a lot of time, almost a year, on crutches and a cane, and it was, you know, it was a mess. And I was trying to deal with public transportation and all that. And so, first of all, people, no one was giving up seats. They would just look at me and then go back to
Rio. Get out.
Nobody. And the way my injury was, I couldn't really balance very well. So I kept falling over on the train, which is embarrassing. But people were speaking to me like maybe I couldn't hear, or maybe I was special.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
They were just going, do you need a seat? And I'd be like, it's crutches. Like, clearly I have a cast here. Like, what are
right.
you doing to me? And I mentioned that to a friend of mine, and she goes, oh my gosh, that happened to me. She broke her collarbone, shoulder, and arm. So she had this very big cast mobilizing most of her torso for a long time. And people did the same thing to her. She was at the pharmacy just getting like her, you know, painkillers mm-hmm. or something. And even the pharmacist said something to her like, you're doing a good job. Oh, she was like, what's the matter with you? Like, I'm like talking slowly and loudly. She was like, what's happening? Ah, good times. People are, I don't know. I think people sometimes, we don't know what to say. So we just kind of blurt something
out. Or talk loud.
Yeah.
Or we talk loud.
Right.
Okay.
We're having
trouble
phones
with the
are
phone.
Flying. Things
this
are
is
happening
Harry.
Here.
Hey, Harry.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Hey, the very same thing happened to me at work Thursday, a couple of days ago. This lady had a cast in her arm, or she had it tied anyway. And I just, she's a colleague, so I said, oh, what happened? And I just patted her, you know, her cast. And she turns around and tells me, you know, I would consider that sexual harassment, and I can sue you. Her husband's a lawyer. Yeah, yeah. And so I said, you're kidding, aren't you? And she just stared at me with those cold, steely eyes and thinking, and she's not kidding. And I'm from a culture where a Mediterranean, which is very normal to touch people, even strangers, you know, because that's how you get to know them and they get to like you and you get to like them. How are you going to do it without, you know, without that?
Well, Harry, I mean, yeah. if that's the way you were raised, it seems like right. There needs to be a certain awareness on your part that maybe that's right. not acceptable outside your right. culture. If she says you were touching
you
her cat,
acceptable because some people are half the people or more than half the people are okay, and maybe 30-20% of the people are not okay with
it. Well, then maybe you should be aware that there's the possibility exists that it's not okay and not do it. I mean, why would she say that was sexual harassment? What were you doing with your other hand?
Maybe she was kidding, but maybe she wasn't. I don't know, and I'm not going to ever do that again because you don't know in this day and age if they mean it, if they don't mean it. Let's say I do touch her in any way again. She might say, hey, you know what? I warned you the first time. This time you're going to get a lawsuit. And since her husband's a lawyer, you never know.
Harry, have you ever touched a pregnant woman's belly?
You know, only if I knew her and I was so glad for her and congratulated her.
Okay.
And I was so happy for her. And what I've done is I've gone further. I said, can I listen to your baby? Maybe it's kicking. Maybe. And she said, sure. And so I put my ear right there.
And this was somebody you knew, right?
Were you the father of that child?
No, this was a good friend of my wife's. And we have, you know, we've known each other for years. My daughter, who just had a baby.
Your daughter, that's different. That's totally different.
Yeah, it is
right.
different. But, you know, her right. friend, my wife's friend, I've done it, and she was so happy, you know, to share this moment with us. And she wanted us to hear her baby and to see it kicking. And then every time it kicked, she said, look, it's kicking. And, you know, it was a good thing.
Okay.
But you're right. You know, we live in a multicultural society, and we don't know what anybody's culture is, so we have to be approached with awareness before we know, you know.
Well,
what
and right. And generally heading towards somebody else's body with the intent of touching it without having
permission to approach.
Correct. Harry, we're glad you were listening.
Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll be back with more of your calls about getting your personal space kind of invaded. Is that Don't Touch Me music? Kathy O'Malley and Amy Guth here. Amy's filling in for Judy while she's down in Arizona registering voters. And just a reminder, if you're not registered,
please.
Come on. If you don't vote, you can't bitch. That's the rule. And how hard is that?
Do you know that there is a partnership right now that you can register to vote through Snapchat now?
Oh, so it's not even complicated.
Not even complicated. You can
exactly.
do it on your phone.
Exactly.
There's an app. You can, if you don't even want to download that app, you can just use Snapchat. It's there. We're taking all the excuses away.
Aren't there some states now? I don't think we're one of them. Motor voter states. Where when you get a driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote
at that address. I don't think we are yet.
Yeah, that would
be.
That would be a good thing. We're talking about having your space invaded, beginning with Amy, who's, you know, working with a shoulder thing and a sling and the whole thing. And people touch it. And people who don't know her.
Strangers are petting my arm.
Right.
And the thing is, the sling is on my arm, but it's to immobilize my
shoulder. Right.
So people are walking up and hitting my shoulder. Like, not so much strangers, but people I know have been like, hey, what happened?
Oh,
patting my shoulder. I'm like, oh, you're killing me right now.
312-981-7200 is the number to call or to text. And on the text line, got a remarkable text from somebody that said, people always come up to me and my family and ask to take our picture. We are little people, but not the famous ones. And amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's 2016 people. This is Carol. Hi, Carol. How do you relate?
Hi. Hi, how are you?
All right.
Hi.
When I was pregnant, my very normal belly button became a very big outie, and it would show through my clothes.
Okay.
And people would poke it.
Oh, my God. People you knew or people?
Well, I could see it through my clothes, and people would go, oh, look at that, and they'd poke it.
Wow.
What,
Carol,
did you do?
Well, I started to wear a Band-Aid over it so people wouldn't do it anymore.
Oh, God. Wow.
Weird? Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how would you, when was this, for starters?
Oh, like 20 years ago.
Okay, I wonder if that would still be the case. But when they did that, were you?
It just would happen so quickly. They go, oh, look at that. And they do it. And you'd be like, yeah.
What
the? You know, like, just yeah. I don't know what to say. It was weird.
No kidding. That's exactly what we're talking about. And how's that 20-year-old now, Carol?
Oh, good. Oh,
okay, yeah, good.
Hanging in there.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. And this is Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
I'm doing fine. I'm just wondering, I was thinking about it while I was at hold, and the thing with personal space now, I think, is really getting out of hand. Before, people would wind up greeting one another with a hug and stuff like that, or with open arms, and now it's like nobody wants to, you know, be emotional with anybody anymore. And it's kind of strange because society is getting to the point where everybody texts instead of communicating.
Okay, but in terms of touching, are you talking about people you know or people you don't know?
People I know. I mean, even men. I belong to a men's group called Mankind Project. And we're, you know, if you get along with somebody and you can feel the vibe that's good, it's okay to touch them, but you still have to wind up asking. And this is like within the last 3 years, it's really gotten heavy where people can't touch one another anymore.
In what way with this men's group? In what would you put your hand around somebody's shoulder? How would you touch another guy?
You know, like you pat them on the shoulder, hi, how you doing? Or, you know, you do a high five and stuff, you know, or do a firm handshake.
Well, a firm handshake doesn't seem out of line. You do that with strangers.
Right.
So, Jim, are you saying that you've been explicitly told not to, through this group that you're working with, not to touch one another without permission?
Yes. And you have to wind up asking the man's permission first.
Okay. Was it a general instruction, or was it an instruction specifically to you?
General instruction.
Okay. So it just in our group, we agree that you're not going to touch somebody else before you say, may I?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Jim, we appreciate the call. It's, again, another example of somebody's personal space. Glad you were listening.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a nice day, Jim.
This is Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I had the worst and weirdest experience at the same time of my life 3 weeks ago flying out of O'Hare.
Mm-hmm.
I helped a tiny, cute Italian lady figure out where she was supposed to depart. And I happened to speak Italian. She hugged and kissed me on both cheeks with her lips on my cheeks, which, you know, culture thing, whatever, it's cute. Once I got in my flight, the lady in the seat next to me was a little bit larger lady, and the whole time she fussed because her leg was touching mine, as she was on technically my side of the seat. And about halfway through, it was a short flight just to Georgia, to Atlanta, she decided to ask for several pillows that she could almost thwart herself, like a wall of pillows.
You weren't manspreading.
No. I was actually window seat. I was as far to the left side as I could. So, like, both my knees were almost touching the wall of the plane.
Okay.
And I don't know what she thought, if she might get a disease from me or if we would ignite if we touched legs, but it was really awkward, and I just couldn't make any eye contact without laughing.
Wow. Well, Amy?
I have this look on my face. I have
Amy
so many
does
questions.
Have a look, right.
Did she say to you that she was uncomfortable, or did she say it to the flight attendant in front of you?
When she sat down, originally she started going, because she couldn't, I guess I was just within my limits, and she noticed that the armrest wasn't, she kind of spilled into my side, so she was very audible breathing about it.
Was the armrest up rather than down?
It was down.
It was down, okay. Yeah.
I told her, and ma'am, if you want to lift it up, you can. You know, I just don't want to make this awkward for, you know, we have 2 hours of living next to each other. And I refused to get up to use the bathroom. I sat down for the whole 2.5-hour flight, and it was the worst.
I have a question. I have a question about that. I've always wondered this. When a woman has to pee, and it's going to be a while, or she needs to wait, generally crossing our legs is helpful. Is it helpful for a man to cross his legs, or to do that, does he have to get the situation inside the crossing of the legs?
Yeah, you know, personally, I can't really cross the legs because that won't really help if you have to go.
That's what I mean. So, it's helpful for women, but not so much for men.
No. There's more grabbing involved for a guy.
So okay.
You have to go. You do not want to be caught trying to hold it.
Tom, thank you for clearing a lifelong mystery up for me. I appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.
I'm glad you asked that. I've always wondered that, too, and wasn't really ever sure how to ask that question.
There's no good way. From the text line, my personal invasion of privacy is wanting to touch the soft new hair of women who've had chemo and lost their original hair. The new hair is like puppy hair. I always ask and I always know the woman. Fortunately, it's a rare thing. It's like suede, you know, when new hair comes in.
Mm-hmm. You're cheating heart
a classic.
Make you weep.
Yes, it will.
Got to play that one out for a minute. It's so good.
And try to sleep.
Amy Guth and Kathy O'Malley. Here with you today, Judy is off. She is registering voters. We are super excited about her doing that because someone's got to. So you go girl with that. So the reason we're playing that song is because yesterday I was in for Bill and Wendy, and we were talking about the upcoming debates, and a caller called in, and she was not having any of Hillary, any part of it, including her outfits. She just said, that's not ladylike. She needed to wear a dress. Like,
oh,
she was not
that's what's
having...
important. Right.
Right. Let's talk about the clothes.
Let's talk about outfits, right.
But she said, I was trying to get her back onto policy or issues, something like that, but she said, I could never respect a woman who didn't leave her husband when he cheated on her.
Aha.
And I was thinking about this because, you know, it seems like that's a line in the sand for sure.
Some people.
For sure.
Right.
But it's interesting to me how we will let our girlfriends date or be married to someone who's just a real jerk, right? Maybe even all the way up to being verbally abusive or maybe physical, right? We'll pardon a lot of behavior, but suddenly that's the thing where we start judging our friend. Right.
Interesting.
That's the thing where we judge our girlfriend and say, well, what's wrong with you for not leaving him? But all kinds of crazy things can go on before that. Like,
right.
You can treat her like complete crap leading up to that. But suddenly that's the thing, which I think is interesting. So I wanted to bring that up as just a discussion point, because I've known couples that have flourished and gotten through something like that just fine. And
right.
Just said, hey, look, there was an indiscretion. I made a mistake. Let's fix it. And some of them came out better couples for having done that.
For me, the line would be a continuum.
Yeah.
Of unfaithfulness.
Right.
That certainly any infidelity is done in secret. You don't say, honey, I'm telling you I'm going to the office, but I'm really, doing the mattress dance with Martha from the mailroom, right?
Right.
So the dishonesty is one.
Right.
And the porking is the second. So
my favorite.
So I could understand once to say, you know, it happens. And I think for men, it's totally different than it is for women.
See, I totally agree. I think for women, it's about it's
emotions
about
fulfilling, and love, yeah, and cherishing. And for men, it's about porking. And truly,
we don't say that word nearly enough in the world.
I think that a man can love his wife and have sex with another woman and still love his wife.
The look on your face right now, Bob, is very funny.
And it's not, which is not to say that I think a man can have sex with another woman over and over and over and over again.
Right. See, I think it gets weird where it's, do you love her? Is there emotion involved? Is it ongoing? Is it,
right,
you know, I just, and like, no judgment at all if someone wants to, like, that's their deal. Hey, when you do your thing,
if you
thing,
have an
I'll
open relationship,
yeah,
exactly.
If you've got,
right,
that kind of thing, that's different.
Yeah, have at it, right.
But yeah, there's the sneaking around and lying to your spouse about, right, a part. But I feel like there's so many other things that are also deal breakers that for some reason we don't put that kind of weight on. And we certainly don't blame the woman for putting up
for
with,
staying,
right?
Right, exactly.
So I think that one's just such,
right,
an interesting one.
Well, jump in here, kids. 312-981-7200. We check the text line pretty consistently, and we certainly check the phone lines, and we're interested in what you have to say. We're talking about cheating, meaning infidelity, and the woman that called in when Amy was filling in for Bill and Wendy about being angry at Hillary. She could never vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
She could never vote for Hillary because she didn't leave Bill because of his infidelity.
She gave two reasons.
Right.
She said she's not ladylike and didn't wear a dress.
Right.
And she didn't leave her husband when he cheated on,
right,
her. I was like, so, but how do you feel about her foreign policy?
That's,
she,
right,
didn't care.
How do you feel about her competency? Right.
She didn't care.
312-981-7200 is our number, and we would like to hear from you. In the meantime, we'll take care of a little bit of business and get back to your calls and texts.
Who's cheating? Who's being true? Who don't even care anymore?
720, Amy Guth and Kathy O'Malley hanging out. Our good friend Judy is in Arizona registering people to vote. My friends, if you have not registered, please do so.
Oh, come on, people.
You can do it in an app now.
This is an important, important election. Please, please vote. I'm talking to both sides.
Yeah, everybody.
I'm talking to both sides here.
Please vote.
This is Dan. Hey, Dan, what do you have to say about cheating?
Well, I've cheated on my wife one time. I'd like to explain why. My wife and I were married for almost 30 years, and for about the last 3 or 4 years, there was no relations at all, and she eventually told me that she did not love me anymore, which came as kind of a shock to me.
Wait a minute. You hadn't had relations for 3 or 4 years and you were surprised?
Well, I was surprised that she told me she didn't love me anymore. You know, we had...
there any clues? Just curious. Okay, go ahead.
Sure, there were clues. I wasn't shocked, but I was definitely surprised.
Okay.
We have twin daughters, that we got after in vitro, that we got via in vitro after 20 years of marriage.
Uh-huh.
When she told me she didn't love me anymore, for the next couple of years, I did everything I possibly could to try to win her back. I gave her Valentine's cards and birthday cards, and I kept up with, you know, everything I could try to do to win her back.
Okay, Dan, I just got to say, it sounds like you're building the case for justifying,
right,
your cheating.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
You're right. You're,
okay,
right. I,
okay,
am. You're right.
Did you tell your wife that if she didn't want to have sex with you, you were going to have sex with somebody else?
Not in so many words, but I did tell her that, what I did tell her was that, you know, if we're not going to have a relationship, that I was not going to wait until our children graduate from high school, at which time I'll be 63 years old,
uh-huh,
to begin a new relationship.
Okay. Did you love the other woman that you had sex with?
No, I'm going to say I didn't. No.
Okay. Did you have sex with her several times?
certainly. My wife, we separated initially over her, and we're divorced because of her.
Oh, okay. So you had an affair, basically.
Okay. You can call it an affair. Oh. I lived with a woman for almost 2 years.
I think that qualifies. Okay, so that's a little bit different than what we're talking about, Dan. We're talking about the indiscretion that's not based on love, that's not based on mutual respect. It's just, here I am in Las Vegas, and this woman at the bar thinks I'm pretty hot. Let's go to her room. And so you say you're divorced, but you loved your wife then, and you still love her.
That is correct.
Are you still, but you're not with the other woman?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And you're not with your wife?
I'm not, and if I had the opportunity, I would go back to my wife in a heartbeat.
Okay. Well, everybody's got a story.
Yeah.
Would you go back to your wife in a heartbeat if you knew that part of the deal was you weren't going to have sex with her?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Are you impotent now?
I am not.
Okay. All right. Well, Dan, we're glad you were listening. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Wow. This is Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi. I heard the opening about a woman that won't vote for someone because she...
Did we lose you?
So, if they worked it out, what does anyone care? And I would think, if anything, that's a lot harder to stay than it is to leave. So I'm more impressed. And I don't even like Hillary Clinton, so that's not a thing for me. But the fact that she tried to work out a marriage, however she did, and not every marriage is exactly perfect, and so she did what she did. And I don't understand, as a society, how we decide that we've made decisions of what's the worst sin ever, and then we say this is, you know, so we don't like you because you did this. And if anybody's been married for even 5 minutes, they'll know that every marriage has problems.
You married Jennifer?
20 years.
Okay. There you go. Good point. Yeah, it's very easy to stand on the outside and judge other people for any number of things. Now, without that, I would not be on the radio. But I know what you're saying, Jennifer. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks, Jennifer.
This is Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hi, Kathy and Amy. How are you today?
Good, great. Thanks.
I have two comments. The first one is that nobody knows what goes on in a marriage and what kind of deals the two people have made with each other. It's kind of going back to what Jennifer before me had said, you know, who are we to judge what goes on in a marriage? My second comment is for that woman that won't vote for Hillary because Bill cheated. Donald Trump cheated on two wives, as far as we know. We don't know if he's cheated on Melania yet.
Do you find that amazing that right. Donald Trump found women to cheat
willing
with.
To have sex with him?
Oh, my God. You want to what? Yeah. Okay.
I was listening yesterday when that woman called, and I was at work, and I couldn't call. And I was just, like, going out of my mind.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a double standard.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we don't know what kind of deals Hillary's made with Bill. Yeah.
You know what? And we don't know. Judy and I have said for 20 years, you can look at any marriage from the outside, and you have no idea what the deal
absolutely.
Is.
Yeah,
you have no idea what compact they have reached to
exactly.
continue being married. Because
I was married for 22 years, and everybody thought we were the perfect couple, and we announced we were getting divorced, and everybody was like, what?
Well, I didn't last 22 years, but I lasted 13, and it was the same thing. But you guys are so much fun. Yeah, well.
I don't understand, but, you know, like I said, no one knows what goes on behind the
closed doors. Exactly. And in Dan's case, the answer was nothing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
At least at home. At least at home. Thanks, Karen. Interesting on the text line, Hillary? So we also have the Donald, wives 1, 2, and 3. Hillary's outfits, Donald's hair, white out under eyes, orange face. Yeah, these are the issues that should concern us. WTF? Really? I have to laugh at pumpkin spice, somebody posted the other day. And it was an onion story, but some people weren't paying attention to that. That for the fall season, the Catholic Church was having pumpkin spice communion wafers. And you should have seen the outrage.
I love when people don't catch on to onion.
Exactly. Totally don't. My wife and I, married 42 years, haven't had sex in 16. Wife says we're too old. I go to Asian massage.
Ooh.
Happy endings.
Okay.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. You wouldn't believe that any woman would like to have sex with Donald Trump. Open your eyes. It's all about the money. Well, I'm probably not going to argue with that.
I think to some women that's appealing. I think power is seductive to some women. Not all, but to some.
Right. If my husband
couldn't pay me enough.
I can't. It's like Rupert Murdoch. You still have to wake up to that face every morning. Yeah. Now, I'm assuming you're sharing a bed. Maybe you're not. Maybe you have a house with 14 bedrooms and you don't have to sleep with him.
Couldn't pay me enough.
It's like, oh, God. If my husband cheated on me, I may try to forgive him, but I think my self-confidence would never recover. Hmm. Nothing would ever be the same. And that, I mean, that's a very feminine, female way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I know some women whose husbands have left them for another man. Mm-hmm. And rather than think, oh, okay, well, there's no way I can compete with that.
I don't have that, right. equipment.
Right. That's not my issue. But rather than look at it that way, it was devastating to them that maybe a guy did that because they weren't enough woman.
Mm-hmm. That's
when the truth is, the guy married you because he was trying to get... Exactly. You were trying not to deal with that. So 312-981-7200 is our number. There was the Asian massage guy.
You know, a friend of mine had that issue. Her husband had an affair, and she said, this is such a blow to my self-esteem. This is horrible. And then one day she just said, you know what? This is a gift. I just realized I've been
about me.
Defining myself through him and letting him control my self-esteem. Screw it. I'm done. And
good
she was
for
like,
her.
I'm out. I'm totally over this. And she it was an awakening for her.
Yeah.
Truly.
From the 708 area code, the Clintons have a marriage for power and money. That may be the case.
Maybe. We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know what the deal is on the other side.
And as long as they both agree to it, whatever.
Yeah, that's their deal. One here about Coach Ditka. I don't know if we should address the whole national anthem flag standing, take
thing.
A knee. I don't know that we should address that because one of the things that we've always tried to do on this show is just give people a place to come and it's just a little bit.
Take a break.
Exactly. Because we know some of you are one side and some of you are the other side. So maybe other shows can handle that because, well, you guys know where we stand. Amy, I think you're pretty much on the same political spectrum that we are. And we're always amazed and surprised and pleased that we have listeners that are in such a different political place than we are.
Yeah. I love
And yet they still are here.
Yeah. And I love that.
Yeah. And that's about having girlfriends that you have many things in common with. Mm-hmm. Possibly politics is not one of them. And so in that case, you just kind of don't do it.
And it's about, you know, having an inviting place where you can hold that conversation where it's not threatening to anybody.
Exactly.
And it's not about being right. It's about discussing and sharing.
Yeah. Exactly. Can't even remember how we got into this conversation in the office this morning. And I said, oh, save it. Because Judy and I never have the conversation about a topic. And in fact, most often don't know what the other one is going to bring up. Every now and again, they bring up something that both of us have put on our list.
Which I have to say has changed the way I plan shows.
Is that right?
That has been a gift for sure. It really has. It is.
Save it for radio.
Save. And I've always said that to my guests. Like, wait, don't tell me now on the break.
Right.
Let's talk about it when we get back. But it's really, really, I've doubled down on it.
Oh,
since
interesting.
Working
it makes for real radio. When Judy and I first started 25 years ago, we would sit down and say, okay, let's talk about this today. And we would amuse each other and say the funniest things and just have this whole conversation before we went on the air. And then when we came on the air, we tried to duplicate that and realized it was totally fake. Mm-hmm. So we decided a long, long time ago, we don't know what the other one is going to bring up, and we don't have the conversation beforehand. The conversation we were having is a very 21st century phenomenon because we have become accustomed to knowing what people look like. Back, I remember in the days, back in my day, when you, before there was Match.com, et cetera, there were the Reader mm-hmm. Match column. And if you were interested in dating somebody, you'd go to the Reader and go, well, this looks interesting. And then you could talk, have a phone conversation with the person. There was no texting. There was no emailing. And then think, well, this seems interesting. I think I'll do this. And you really didn't have a sense of what you were getting. It was kind of like a pig in a poke.
Sure.
Nowadays, if you find somebody interesting, there's the easily dismissive swipe left, swipe right. Is that Tinder?
And Bumble.
Right. You look and go, ugh, don't like his looks, nope. Don't like her looks, you know, left, left, left.
And it's so funny. I always see people out in the world and on public transportation just like swipe, 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 swipe so fast, like
how
a video game.
How can you possibly know what you're turning down?
Yeah,
you are basing your decision whether or not you're interested in somebody strictly on how they look. On the other hand, because of that, people will represent themselves on these sites, on dating sites, even on their Facebook page. This is how I look. And many times it's a picture that's several years old,
yeah.
Many years old. Sometimes it's a picture that's expertly cropped so that it's not clear that you're quite heavy, which is something that a lot of would turn off some people, would say, I don't want to date a woman who's heavier. I don't want to date a guy who's heavy.
Although yeah, there's a
Mike there, and Molly.
Right. There is a blog devoted to fails of that, where people take a selfie in the bathroom, but forget to crop the mirror. Oh. So it's like, you're like holding your boobs up so
right.
You look, but in the back it's like you got duct tape or like Spanx or
what's
whatever's
that called?
Going on. I don't remember the name,
okay.
But I'll find it and tweet it out. But
okay.
It's a whole blog devoted to those fit kind of fails.
Right. So the question is, have you ever been involved either as the person who sort of changed how you look, sort of cropped your picture or photoshopped the hell out of your picture, and when somebody met you
was like, nope.
You got to be kidding me. That's not you. Or on the other hand, are you the person that said, wow, this guy seems interesting. And the example that I can think of, there was an episode of the show Mother several weeks ago. And this is Allison Janney and Anna Faris as a mother and daughter who are both recovering alcoholics. And the mother was getting into a kind of an interesting online thing with a guy, and they could both see what the other looked like, and they agreed to meet. And when they agreed to meet, it was clear that he was in a wheelchair and he hadn't told her that. And that seems like a really important piece. If they had been, you know, maybe not on the first date or maybe not on the first conversation,
right.
On Facebook or wherever you're having this conversation, but somewhere along the line where it becomes very clear that you're really kind of digging each other, to say, before we go any further, I think it's only fair that I tell you.
Yeah.
I weigh 280. I'm in a wheelchair. Or was it you that had the example of somebody that has a picture?
Yes. Yes. So a friend of mine, she was using JDate, and there was a guy who had a picture cropped in such a way that, you know, she was like, he was very good looking, but there was a filter over it and you couldn't see much of his body, much of his shoulders or anything. And he had even made a point to say, you know, they exchanged these photos and had seen each other. And he said, you're so beautiful, but, you know, looks really don't matter. You seem like such a lovely person. And she said, he said the phrase a couple of times, you know, the physical is just surface. What really matters inside. He kind of had pushed on that point. And then when they met, he was a dwarf.
A little person.
Yes.
Right. And I think that somebody before said her family had people had asked to take pictures with her family.
Yeah.
And she said,
yeah.
We're little people and not the famous ones.
And I say that word because that was the word he used.
Yeah.
He used that word. Yeah.
Okay.
He said like dwarfism and dwarf. He used that word.
Okay.
Is why I say that.
Yeah. And the Roloff family.
Yes.
On what's it called?
Little People Big World.
Little People Big World. Yeah. Right. The one son, the twin son, there's twins and one of them's regular size and, right. and one of them's a little person. It married the loveliest girl.
Yeah,
standard totally. Size girl. They're crazy about each other. The fact that he was a little person made absolutely no difference to her. They were friends long before mm-hmm. they became romantically interested, which is not to say that your friend might have found this guy great. She might have loved it.
She really liked him.
But
leading
you
up to
don't
it.
Spring that on
right.
somebody.
You don't spring it on somebody. You say that. And she said, honestly, if he would have said that, I still would have met him. We were having
right.
a great conversation.
Right.
But the fact that he deceived me really made me mad.
Exactly.
And it made me think, what else are you hiding? And
exactly.
Gonna spring
and I from time to time, will post a Facebook picture that is wildly unattractive. And I almost always have somebody say, oh, I really admire that you're willing to post this picture. Well, that's how I look.
Right, this is,
this is as cute as it gets. 312-981-7200 is our number. Kathy and Amy back. Kathy O'Malley and Amy Guth. Amy filling in for Judy while she's in Arizona registering voters. Good just to follow up on our conversation about what you reveal and how you can deceive somebody before you meet them by altering your picture, by cropping, by not being straightforward about the fact that you are anorexic, you are morbidly obese, you are in a wheelchair, you are a little person. And this is Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So I just wanted to kind of represent from the other side of the equation. So I'm HIV positive, and that's not something that I come out with on a first date.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Because, yeah,
but certainly before a relationship becomes intimate.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And at least to go out on a few dates so that someone could get to know me for me, and rather than seeing Nancy as HIV positive, but just seeing Nancy as Nancy.
Fair enough.
Sure.
How many people, male or female, once they know that, would go, you know, like you a lot, I think I'm out of here. How often does that happen?
You know, I think I've been very fortunate with the people that I have been with. You know, they have they've come to know me after several dates, and then I'm ready to tell them. I could tell, okay, maybe things are going to progress. And of course, there's shock. But then I think it opens up room for conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So
all right. That's it.
I don't think maybe it's deception. It's just get to know me first.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yeah, sure.
Fair enough. Thanks, Nancy.
Great. Thank you.
Glad you were listening.
Yeah.
And Amy has a follow-up on our conversation.
Yeah, you know, I got nervous after I said that. I had to kind of check myself on Google. I don't want to offend people. And I referred to a friend of mine had a situation where she met a man online and he did not reveal that he had dwarfism. And I used that word and I wanted to just be clear. And I checked myself and Googled it. But in fact, that was the word he used. And
you
so
are so not offensive. I can't imagine you not being
fully... You should see the text line sometimes. Oh boy, they call my head on a plate. But I want to, you know, if someone is listening, feel free to call and check me. But I was looking at a couple of sites and it seems that because that is a clinical word, that is...
Right.
That is. And so little person does not necessarily refer to dwarfism, but can...
What does it refer to?
Well, there are different conditions at which one might for which one might have a smaller stature.
Oh, okay.
That dwarfism is
well,
but
a couple
one.
More years, I might qualify.
But it was, I got a little education just
there
now.
There you go.
But
absolutely.
You know what? I prefer to call people their names. So there's
that.
That's what I go with.
This is Mike. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
312-981-7200 is our number. Go ahead.
I would add something about height, too. A friend of mine, he was using one of the dating apps, and he didn't put his height in his bio. And so he...
Is he very tall or very short?
Average height.
Okay.
I think he's about 5'9 or so.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't put his height in his bio, and he said, women were, that was the first question.
Wow.
Like right away, wait, how tall are you? And one of them in particular, I think he, they struck up a conversation and maybe three or four questions in, she said, how tall are you? And he jokingly said, well, I'm, you know, whatever, 5'9". I hope that's not a deal breaker. And she said, actually it is. I got to go.
Because?
Well, I think it's interesting. Women in height are an interesting thing because I know a lot of women that say, oh, I wouldn't date a guy shorter than me. And I think there's something to be, I mean, I'm 5'10", barefoot, right?
Like,
I have dated men of many different heights, but I think there's, on some level, you have to kind of check yourself and say, am I defining what feels feminine in an external way?
I couldn't agree more.
Right.
Yeah. I think I'm standard size.
Yeah.
I think the average American woman now is 5'4".
Yeah.
I used to be. I'm 5'3" now. And I think the average American woman now is a size 14. It used to be a size 12. But I always found that guys who were my same height, and there aren't a lot of them, but guys who were close to my height, maybe 5'5 or 5'6, they're a great hug. That's a great hug. And there are certain situations in which a person of your very size is good too.
That was the most diplomatic thing I've ever heard you say, Kathy.
I guess it's about standing.
Oh, I guess it's about standing sex.
What's the old joke? Why?
It's all the same when you're laying down.
Or when you're standing up. The joke about why don't Baptists ever have sex standing up?
Why?
Because somebody might see you and think you were dancing. Anyway.
Good times.
Yeah. So when we come back, after we have some business, and in fact, maybe we could begin it now. Are you a crier? Do you cry easily?
I think sometimes I am not crying when I should.
Who decides that?
Right.
Yeah.
I cry when I move to do so. I don't stop myself from crying.
Oh, I never. I never stop myself from crying. There are a couple factors involved. Number one, people on TV cry pretty. You never see anybody on TV do ugly crying.
Ugly cry.
Kim Kardashian.
That's true.
Kim Kardashian ugly
crier?
Oh,
very ugly crier.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad to hear.
Oh, God.
Her makeup people aren't there fixing her makeup
it's
when she's
the
crying?
The way her face contorts. Just a very ugly crier. I think it's all the fillers and everything.
Oh, you know what? Her makeup doesn't run, so it must be super waterproof or something. But she makes some faces.
Oh, okay. Well, my personal story. Let's bring it back to me.
Yeah. But, are you?
But on our last show. Our last show when we were fired in, when was that, 2009? Was it that long ago? Oh, my God. Okay, 2009, I kept it together right up till maybe 15 minutes before the end of the show. And people had congregated outside the windows, including a Tribune photographer.
Oh.
And at one point, when I was just talking to our girlfriends, saying, don't let this be the end of your reaching out to your girlfriends, this be here for each other. And I lost it. If you Google Kathy O'Malley images, that will be on the first page. And I swear the Tribune will use that picture when I die.
I'm Googling
on
this
my
right
obituary,
now.
Mm-hmm. On my obituary. And I am in the dictionary where it says ugly cry. That picture is there because it's not pretty. But that's a detour. This is by way of saying, are you an easy cry? This week I watched a new show called This Is Us. It's kind of NBC's answer to parenthood being over. It's about family stuff and parents and kids and stuff like that. I loved it. It was a great show. It had a great twist at the end. There was all kinds of, it was interesting. And on a Facebook post, the comments included on the part of several people, I cried three times. Mm. A friend of mine posted, my husband cried twice. And I look back and think, what was it about that show that would make people cry? Mm. And I guess the question is, I can't remember the last time I cried. I'm not a big crier. When I do, I go balls out. I mean, that picture that the Tribune won't take out of their library.
Okay.
Did you find it?
I'm looking at that picture.
Not pretty. not
I disagree.
Pretty.
Oh. I disagree.
I disagree too.
I think it is.
Oh, I look there, at
that picture is
real.
Electrified with emotion, and it is the two of you are having a moment,
and Judy's laughing. Judy's kind of laughing,
but she
at
has
me.
Tears in her eyes, yeah. And she's hugging you. That I yeah. think that is a lovely picture.
Well, I think it's a horrible picture. Anyway, so you know, give us a call. Are you? Do you cry at the drop of a hat? Do you find yourself? Do you cry at least once a week? And what? And I think you made a face, but I think there are people that would say, "Oh yeah,
really?
I cry every day." And or has it been a while? I remember my mom used to say, I hardly ever cry. And it was sweet because near the end of her life, in the last couple months of her life, she did. Mm. So the question is, and we'll take it up after the news. Are you a sort of serial crier, or are you like me on the other end of the spectrum where not a lot's going to make you cry?
Crying.
Song.
We're talking about crying, and I fall way on the dry end of the spectrum for that. Somebody else in the studio has acknowledged being an easy cry. Amy, where are you?
I'm in the middle. It's okay. Certain things. Sad things usually I can be very like stiff upper lip about it.
Right.
It's the go humans go stuff. The NFL draft, I cry my eyes out.
Oh, you're kidding.
Because you watch this kid suddenly, in a second, he's just realized his dream. And he goes from hopeful to living it. And that makes me just cry my eyes out.
Oh, the for heaven's
medal
sake.
Medal ceremony at the Olympics. I'm like, oh my God, you did it. The thing you worked so hard. Like, those make me cry. Like a very optimist.
Is it crying just with the tears spilling onto your face or the...
No.
Just tears.
I think I'm a graceful crier.
Oh, I'll bet you are. But I like
I'm
you
like
anyway.
Dab the eyes.
I like you anyway.
I'm not much
hey,
of a
Jeannie,
weep.
You're a crier, huh?
I am an easy crier. Commercials, things on Facebook, I can be sitting there crying. And my kids all would sit at the dinner table and see who could make me cry fastest.
How would they do that?
Well, my oldest daughter at that time worked at a animal hospital.
Oh, God.
There's always a sad story there. So that she, hands down, won.
Okay, sure.
But my middle daughter's boyfriend at the time had said, this is horrible. He was just appalled that they would do this to me. And then, you know, years later, they're still dating and we're out in Montana for a wedding. And he texts me as I'm walking to the room and he says, wasn't it just yesterday that you held that little pink bundle in your arms?
Oh, God. He did that on purpose, right?
He was one of the gang again. Make me cry.
So, Jeannie, when was the last time you cried? Can you remember?
Yesterday.
About?
Somebody wrote my husband a beautiful reference on LinkedIn and I just thought it was just so touching.
And it made you cry.
Yep.
Very sweet. See, and I can't, I think I'm often surprised at what makes me cry. Personally, I think what makes me cry is lack of control. If I feel like I have no control over what's going on, that can make me cry. But in terms of television, I'm often surprised or suddenly. Now, if you cry almost daily, Jeannie, then you don't have cumulative crying. Because sometimes if you're like me and you're not a constant crier, once you let go,
it's on.
Everything that you didn't cry about before is right there.
And my kids don't even buy cards at the store anymore because they hand make them so that they're even more personal and touching and
you make
know,
you cry.
Like, got her. You know, it's like, yes, you did get me.
Get her. That's hilarious. Thanks, Jeannie.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay, here's Marge in the Cold-Hearted Club with Kathy. Hey, Marge.
Hi, how are you guys?
You feel that you're cold-hearted?
Yes, I do sometimes.
Because?
I rarely cry. Last time I cried was 11 years ago when my youngest daughter, they had to abort her pregnancy because of a rare infection that she had that also
would affect the baby.
Yes.
Okay.
And I left the room and I went out and called my husband and I started crying because you're finally letting it out. Huh?
Right. Now, well, Marge, do you feel that you, after that, you made a conscious decision? This feels so awful and this feels so hard. I'm not crying anymore.
No.
It's just that you don't, that's not how you respond to stuff.
No, and sometimes, like I said, I feel like I'm not cold-hearted. I love things. I just don't cry easy. Around our Christmas holidays, I have a little tears coming down, but I'm by myself. But I'm not really crying. I mean, there are tears, but it's just when I hear certain songs that I know my parents or my in-laws liked for the holidays, mm-hmm. I'll get teary-eyed. But I just don't cry. Mm-hmm. I think I know a couple instances that may have made me not cry. I think that
you,
if I went
are to you referring to times when somebody said, don't cry?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As a child?
Well, once when I was a kid, I had got hit with a belt on my behind when I was about six, and I thought, if he thinks I'm going to cry, I'm not going to cry. And then another time was when I got a call that my mother was dying, and I went in the house, and I started to cry, and my husband said, don't let the kids see you cry.
Oh, wow.
So
I
think that is just in me, like, because I'm not blaming them, but I think that that's probably why I just don't cry.
It's like the song from the Book of Mormon, turn it off like a light switch. All right, Marge, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Nice to hear you guys back on the air.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Now here's a guy. This is Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing? I love your show. Every Saturday I try to get out of work so I can listen to it.
Yes.
I'm a man. And I'm a manly man. I have a beard. I'm a big guy. But I am a crier. I mean, I'll cry. I was watching The Patriot with Mel Gibson the other day. And I was like, yes, go America. And I'm crying. I'm watching 9/11 films. You know, that was a very emotional time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Crying. My wife passed away 10 years ago at the age of 40. I'll still hear her song.
Honey.
And I'll cry. And it'll just, I don't know. I don't cry in front of other men, of course. But when I'm by myself or in front of my kids, who are both boys, I'll cry. It just, something in me has always been like that. I don't know what it is. I've been through a lot. I've had a lot of hardships. A lot of things have happened to me. So maybe that's. And if I didn't cry, I think I would kind of implode or something.
Probably.
It's for me, I feel better after I cry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill, you mentioned that you have boys. Are they criers?
One of them is, and the other one isn't. They're 1 year and 1 day apart, and they're polar opposites. I think one of them was adopted, and my wife didn't tell me or something.
That's called Irish twins.
Yeah, they're like really, really different. When they were little, when they were younger, they got along really good. Now they can't even. They're 17 and 18. They can't even be in the same room without fighting with each other. It's like they're going backwards.
So they're not. They're not who they're going to be just yet. If they're 17 and 18.
No, I hope not, because they're both eating me out of house and home, too.
Okay.
Going back to what you guys were talking about earlier, the man called about, if I could talk about it just for 1 second, you talked about cheating on his wife and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I found out my wife cheated on me after she had already passed away.
Ooh.
So I had to, like, deal with that. Like, okay, am I going to be mad at her? Or is it going to do any good to be mad at her because she's not around, and it's mm-hmm. like, that's something I really had to struggle with, and I still love her. I mean, she was still my wife. She's the mother of my children, but I couldn't hold a grudge and be mad at her because
she was gone. What was the George Clooney movie where that George Clooney lived in Hawaii?
What was the name of that?
And I can't remember the name of it. And as his wife was dying, his wife was in a coma. Everybody else knew that the wife had been fooling around on him. So it might be a movie that you would enjoy, Bill. It'd probably make you cry, though.
Probably.
Well, Amy's looking it up.
Don't Google that, because it's all like trashy sites about whether or not Amal is cheating on George Clooney. That's not it. Don't Google
okay.
that.
No, look under IMDb.
Yeah, that's
look under
one.
Look
the
under
Descendants.
Clooney's. Descendants. Yes, the Descendants. Bill, check it out.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is our number. This is from the text line. That commercial where the Japanese baby is afraid of the family dog.
Oh,
until the
that
father,
was so sweet.
Until the father gets a lion costume
yes.
for the dog. That makes me cry.
That
big,
is,
goofy dog.
That is a sweet egg.
We're talking about crying. We'll be back with your calls and texts. Kathy and Amy here. Amy Guth sitting in for Judy Markey, who's registering voters this weekend down in the beautiful Southwest.
Get it done, Judy.
On the text line, the old AT&T commercial from the 70s, mother said her son called. Dad asked if he's okay, if the wife is okay, if the kids are okay. Mother says, yes, all okay. He asked them, why did he call? And she's tearing up. She says, he called to say, I love you, Mom. I'm tearing up now as I type this. Brian, 46. Boy. I don't know if that's my Brian or not. My neighbor Brian might be. So 312-981-7200, we're talking about
crying.
Crying. And this actually, I'll talk to Nick. Hey, Nick.
Yes, I'm here.
You're a crier.
Well, I am since my 9/11.
Help us out.
Well, when you hear the term 9/11, a clear picture comes in your mind of that day.
Right.
My 9/11 happened 11/11/11 when I had a stroke.
Oh, wow. That's something to remember. So since your stroke, you tend to be more emotional.
I think that's one of the effects of a stroke has on people.
Has your doctor told you that?
More emotional afterwards.
Has your doctor told you that that's the case?
As I've lived it the last 5 years during my recovery, I have experienced it and done some research on it, and that's what I've been told that, and I've experienced it.
Interesting. And how are you doing since your stroke, besides with the crying?
Well, when I had my stroke, my business partner told my wife that the first thing she needed to do was file for disability. And my wife decided to wait and see what happened. And a couple months later, when I was released from the hospital, we went ahead and filled out the application and started the process. And 6 months later, Social Security ruled that I was totally, permanently disabled. And that was based on all the input from the doctors and as they reviewed my case and claim. And since June of 2012, I've been receiving my Social Security disability. And what my business partner told my wife was, Nick's been paying into Social Security for the last 43 years, and it's like buying insurance, and now's the time to collect.
Do you feel like you're permanently disabled, Nick? Do you feel like you're disabled outside of the crying situation?
Let's put it this way. I have learned to adapt to the disabilities that I have.
Are you able to walk?
I just walked 3 miles today to have breakfast with a good friend of mine, and I do the 3 mile walk just kind of for practice. And I set a record. I walked a mile and a half to an assisted living facility in Crete, Illinois. And today on my way home, I set a new record. I made it home in 32 minutes and 24 seconds, which is a personal best for me.
Well, that's great, yeah. But how is that permanently disabled?
Well, that's what I would say. I would tell you that I am the least disabled, totally permanently disabled person that you're going to talk to on your show today.
Well, we've only got a few more minutes, so you may be right. Nick, we're glad you were listening, and we're glad you're getting around and doing okay, yeah. And it's all right to cry, as Rosie Greer would say.
Disability is only permanent if you allow it to be.
Okay, there you go. All right, Nick, thanks. Hey, Nick.
Okay, yes.
Hey, Nick, I got something for you. You're in 708. I have a sampler pack from this wonderful bakery called Sweet Alley's. This is Chicago's only dedicated and certified gluten-free bakery, but you would never even know.
Oh, they're so good.
You would never even know that this stuff is gluten-free. They're in Hinsdale and Glenview. You're in 708. Where are you?
I'm in a town called Goodmill.
Where's that?
You never heard of that, did you?
Nope. Well, like I said, where's that?
You know that Madison is the dividing line or the zero from north-south in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
My address is 27420 South, so I'm 274 blocks south of Madison Street.
All right, well, you're going to be closer to Hinsdale then. Yeah, Nick, stay on the line. I'm putting you on hold. Kristen's going to get your information, and you're getting this wonderful gift pack from Sweet Allie's Bakery. Quickly, this is Audrey. Hey, Audrey, not a crier?
Yes and no. I was raised as a child not to cry. Mm-hmm. The only time I remember my mother ever praising me for anything was the day I came home from a friend's house. I had skinned my knee. The blood was running down my leg, and I was not crying. So my mother thought that was wonderful. However, there must be something wrong with me. I cry at beautiful things.
Mm. Oh, well, that's lovely. That means, you're just emotionally moved by beautiful things.
Well, very, very, I guess so. It's strange. May I just very quickly insert something else? I've never called before.
Okay.
And so many times I've been close to it. But earlier today, one quick thing about Hillary, please.
Yes.
What?
Audrey? Audrey? Where did you go?
You're not to cut out.
Audrey, you're there. You're on our line. What? Truly. Audrey, I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
You were about to make a good
point,
I think.
We don't know what you were going to say.
I identified so much with what she just said about
that. Beautiful things make you cry.
Like, I also was highly discouraged from crying as a kid, but lovely, very beautiful things make me cry. And with what Nick said, that, like, my dad, he had some heart stuff, and after his heart attack, he was very serious guy, but then after that, he got very
emotional
and stayed that way.
Yeah. Thanks first to Amy Guth for sitting in. Totally enjoyed having you here.
And always a pleasure.
Judy. And actually, Amy's going to be sitting in again. Here's the deal. Next week, we're gone. Next week is one of those Northwestern football weeks, and we're not going to the stream where I can use bad language. Damn. So it's just going to be Northwestern football. The week after that, I'm going to be away, but Amy will be sitting in with Judy.
Yes.
So thanks to Amy. Thanks to Bob Ferguson, our emotional and competent engineer and music finder, to Kristen Decker, our wonderful producer, to Sam Paniatovich. Sam, I didn't even ask you if you cry.
I'm not going to answer it then. You didn't ask.
Okay.
Fair enough.
To Veronica Carter for news.